Oh my God, what a week.
Okay, well, I can't wait to get talking, please. We have to start as soon as possible. No introductions.
Oh, I've been through a Kylie roller coaster this week. I've been angry. I've been excited. I was angry at this whole disco thing. We'll get onto it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's just been an incredible week. It feels like a month ago that the Fever 20th anniversary came out, and we've just had so much going on. What an exciting time to be a Kylie fan.
Yes, it is. You're very excited by this. And you're right, we should be. It's very exciting news because we've been waiting all summer for some news. And, you know, for the past few weeks, we've been counting down those moments, saying at some point she's going to do something. All those silly Instagram posts that she's been teasing us with, they're all leading to something. And actually, there were clues in there, weren't there? Because she was showing a lot of 90s stuff. But we'll come on to that later on as well.
Yeah.
But take us back. How are we going to... There's so much to talk about.
Let's start with the Fever anniversary, the 20th anniversary. Ooh. So, okay. I get up, check Kylie.com, and it's totally the store, and it's totally rebranded to Fever 20. So she's released new merchandise. She's released new kind of vinyls, a silver vinyl, a signed lithograph, like cassettes, which sold out immediately in the first minute, right? And then, like, it seems like the next day, and I think this is a mistake. I think, in my opinion, this disco was rushed. They didn't want to announce it yet. I think they wanted to have a little bit more time for the Fever campaign to run before this one, but apparently it leaked because one French store released the image of this, and that's where the speculation started online, going, is this real, is it fan made? Because in my opinion, totally fan made. Left me so cold.
You know, when we were talking about what the new deluxe album would look like, we were kind of saying I was hoping for something that was more polished, something that would, you know, have more time taken in it, because obviously, the first one was kind of done through lockdown. So maybe, I mean, I know she was doing videos, but perhaps that artwork was done because of the pandemic. There's a pandemic GCSE album cover. So I thought with this one, we'd have something a little bit more spectacular. And it's actually, dare I say, worse than any of the other covers she's actually done. I'm actually shocked and surprised that one we saw last week that we were all questioning is actually a bona fide cover that has gone through lots of people with eyes. And it's going out like that. It stuns me. It really does. Because I don't get it. It doesn't match with any of the rest of the campaign.
I rate this cover just slightly above the I Wouldn't Change a Thing single cover.
No, I want gloves. I want a perm.
Can we talk about disco? I mean, going back to Fever 20, I bet hopefully everyone out there got a cassette. I managed to buy mine from the Australia store because it all got sold out, but the silver vinyls and stuff like that all sold out, so hopefully whoever got them with no issues. This disco, when I found out that there was only three songs, this enraged me, because
what are the three songs? There are three songs. We've got A Second to Midnight, which we will come to with shortly, with Years and Years. We have A Kiss of Life, that's with Jessie Ware, and we have Can't Stop Writing Songs About You with Gloria Gaynor, plus Real Groove, the 54 mix, and the
remixes.
Yeah, the camp remix, and then a load of other boring remixes. Yes, I was very disappointed by this.
I was enraged. I can't. This is where I was in my Kylie roller coaster. This is the moment where I felt like it was a kick in the stomach to us fans. Us fans all have about 18 copies of Disco as it is. Why do we need the album again? It was just one of those things where it's just felt blatantly like a money-making machine. And it was the first time I've ever felt it, even though I've been pummeling out cash with her for over years. This is where I haven't bought any of these remixes, the new editions of Disco. And that says something about me, like at this kind of stage, because I normally would. But the fact that she's included the album and only three new songs wrapped up in a whole different package, it's probably not good enough for me. And I don't think it's good enough for a lot of people out there as well. I think she should have waited or just released an EP. You don't need the whole album. But what I thought was very smart about this, and probably the only positive that I can see about this reissue guest list edition, is that she's released an extended mixed album. So this is probably going to be her very first one since the Kylie collection. If you go online, you'll see it. She's released this whole kind of disco in the same order that the original album is, and all the songs are extended mixes, which excites me. That is the thing that I was excited about. But the rest, I felt like it's a big, massive slap in the face.
So just explain this to me, because I am not very up on all these things, because I don't go chasing around looking for all this stuff. So where is this long... What, so all the songs blend into one another?
We don't know. We don't know,
but... Oh, so it hasn't... This is the one that's available on Apple at the moment.
What?
Or, I'm sorry, it is one, yeah.
No, this is all pre-ordered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be, yes, that's what this new album is. It's all songs are extended plays, yeah?
But there's like three discs. So you've got the original album.
Right.
Then you've got an album with...
the new stuff.
Yeah, and I believe that there's one album with all extended that was on a vinyl that I saw on one of her...
But if you don't listen to vinyl, I don't listen to vinyl.
The Disco Extended Mixes LP...
Right.
So this is unreleased 12-inch versions of the tracks of Disco in Rainbow Lemonade Gatefold Sleeve. So she's released kind of a Kylie Collection version of Disco, which is incredible, which I'm excited about.
She's always been listening to our show about having extended versions, because that's what we've been saying all that time, that was the thing wrong with the first. So why isn't she doing that as the main album, as the deluxe album? Because at least that would make all the songs different.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to vinyl. I don't have a record player. I'm not going to listen to it.
I don't know, but maybe...
I'm not going to hear it.
Hold on, let me just look. So there's a 5-disc case-bound edition coming out, which features the deluxe, the collaborations with the artists, the audio of Infinite Disco, plus a DVD and a Blu-ray. So she has been listening, because that's what we said that should happen. Interesting.
But that's a special 5-box one, which means it's going to be very expensive, right?
No, it's still available to pre-order from her site. And it's only £25.
Oh, well, that's a bargain. I'd buy two.
I see the deluxe guest list edition. It's like a limited slipcase thing is sold out. And I think there was a £95 bundle that was on the website, and now that seems to have disappeared and sold out
as
well.
What's the bundle, for God's sake? If you've got all that stuff in the £25 one, what's the £95 bundle?
Yeah.
I can't keep up with this. You have to be like a full-time Kylie fan to cope with all this. I can't deal with it. My head's
and
spinning.
And to afford it all as well. Like, literally, this is what kind of enrages me a little bit. But I don't know whether this will get number one. I'm not sure if she wants to count this as one of her albums to get to number one, because it is probably a reissue. So it'd be quite interesting to see where this charts. But I probably will cave and buy maybe one copy of it. Just because of Seconds to Midnight. Should we talk about that?
Well, yeah, let's go into the songs. Well, actually, let's talk about first her on Radio 2, because it was a lovely little chat with Zoe Ball this week. She spoke about the rumours about her going back to Australia, and she actually said it was true. And I, in fairness, didn't actually believe it. I thought it was just some silly made-up story that was just to help promote the single that was coming out this week. But she says she's going back, but then she also says she'll be over here all the time. So maybe she's just basing herself over there.
According to the Kyle and Jackie O show, she did an interview and said she's already moved. Oh. And in the Mirror, there was an article that stated, in newly filed documents, the star has changed the service addresses of her 4 main businesses to an address in Hawthorne, a suburb of Melbourne. So she's already changed and she's already moved, apparently.
Ooh, I wonder what that's about. What does that mean for her romantic relationship with...
Apparently he's staying here and they're going to be long distance, but he'll come and they'll... Because she's always going to be travelling. So I think they're just going to just try a little bit long distance. And I think he will eventually move. And I think in order for him to do that, she would need to employ him as an employer, because, he needs to get a job to be sponsored to work in the UK unless they marry.
Oh, I see. Right.
Because of the immigrant, you can't just rock up and live in Australia. You need...
Even if you're the husband of Miss Kylie Minogue, the princess.
Yeah, no, that there would need to be either marriage or he would need a job that would sponsor him. I wonder if he needs to pick fruit, because in Australia, if you go over there and you're on a working visa, you have to go and pick fruit. It's a compulsory.
Well, I just hope he doesn't have any problems going. I watch a lot of Passport Control, and they're very tough in Australia. I mean, that's why he doesn't bring any Kylie wine through, because he might not let you go. But yes, anyway, so going on to the... Yeah, so she answered those questions the other day, and it was a really nice chat. She sounded very perky.
I only could listen to half of it because my internet went down when the interview, like, just started. I was like, shit! But yeah. It's just been, I'm going back to her moving back to Australia. I, you know, sometimes I think we forget that she is Australian. Well, people who live in England, I think, I think of her as an Australian because I grew up with her there. But yeah, I think it's a great move. And I think, you know, COVID really did make her open up her eyes and realize, you know, family is important and being around. And because Ron and Carol, you know, they're not getting any fresher, are they?
Exactly. And also, she's probably realized that you don't have to be in London to make records. You can actually just do it over the internet. So I think the pandemic has opened people's eyes up to many, many opportunities that they probably didn't think were there. So she can be anywhere she wants and record an album. She did it in their kitchen, the one that you paid for, Kieran.
And also, who wants to live in England at the moment? There's no bloody fuel. The gas prices are skyrocketing and inflation is just horrendous. So, Carly, we're all going to move to Australia with you. Like, have the spare room set up.
Oh.
Let's talk about Seconds to Midnight or yeah. Seconds to Mid-Night on the on the single cover. She loves a hyphen.
I like the fact she's kept that motif going through her artwork. Because, I mean, I find it very irritating, but I like the fact that it's been used quite a lot now. To start with, the title's very good. It just sounds sassy and sexy, and I quite like it.
What was your feeling when it first started playing?
Well, for the first, 30 seconds, I thought, oh, this doesn't sound very disco-y. It didn't sound like anything like the album for me. It didn't have a disco sound to it. It was a little bit dancey. Then I thought her vocals were a little bit tinny when they came in, just a tiny bit. But then once I got to the chorus was a sensation. And then I could hear disco elements in there. And I think
the claps.
And there was a little bit of a noise thing in the background that was very 70s disco. And I thought, right, that's it. So I'm hoping somebody might do a little bit of a remix with them. Or maybe on the extended version of the album, they may have, they may give it a string backing track. But the chorus is very poppy. And I think this is the first time I've heard Kylie singing pop. To me, it sounded almost like a modern version of a PWL pop song. It was very sing-along, no attempt to be cool. It's very, very middle of the road, almost steps like pop. And I was so happy to hear it. The chorus has got a brilliant melody. I was actually, I felt the same way I felt when I heard Magic for the first time. I had the same euphoria sweeping through my body. I was so excited when I heard it. And then the minute it was available to download, I was playing it nonstop, and I've been playing it nonstop since yesterday.
Oh my God, me too. Literally, I'm going to say that this is my favorite song of the disco era so far.
I absolutely
love it. I'm obsessed. Mm. You're like you said, it's a sensation. Immediately, because with Say Something, it took us a little while to get into Magic. It was kind of an initial spark, but this, I just felt it hit me straight away, and it was just like, this is an amazing song.
Yeah, the production's just, it's not trying to be cool. It's not trying to be, it doesn't even try to be disco, to be honest. It just sounds like a generic pop song, which I know that sounds like a criticism. It's not. I just love it because it's Kylie being a pop star and not Kylie trying to be anything else. And I just love that aspect. It's one of those songs that is, it's just great. It's kind of like one of those timeless songs. It's doesn't sound like anything to me, but it sounds like everything to me. But it's just, I don't know. I'm going around the houses, but I just love it.
Definitely a Carly Smiley for you.
I was, definitely. I was a bit concerned because when she was on the Zoe show, she did mention that she just finished recording a video with Gloria Gaynor. And I thought that was going to be the first single. And then she said, here's the first single with Years and Years. And I thought, oh, right, that's odd because we've just had a Years and Years collaboration. So I thought maybe we'd give him a rest or something.
Mm.
But I'm glad we didn't because I really like what he's doing now as a solo artist because Starstruck, I absolutely love. And it's a song that I can't stop playing now. And then
this song is a lot better than Starstruck, in my opinion.
It feels like it's cut from the same cloth. I wish Kylie had an album that had songs that sound like this because I think these are just great songs.
Yeah. I'm very interested to hear actually the new stuff and see if it lives up to Seconds to Midnight because it is a very strong opening single.
Yeah. And she said on the show that it was Biff Stannard who produced it. So he is like a pop king. So he's had his fingers in many a pop pie over the years. So we should expect these songs to be pure pop gems and they produce just that. It's just amazing.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
So after the song was played on Radio 2, the video was premiered a few hours later, 11 a.m., is that right?
Yes, 11 a.m., yeah. I couldn't join because I was in a meeting, but I was furious because that's when my meeting started. I said, I want to watch this.
Now, I was busy yesterday as well, so I couldn't get to see it at the time. I have since seen it. And now, all I can say is that Minx is listening to the Diminutive Collection because she's been listening to us saying that we love that Bardo Buffon. that we like the 90s look, that we like her doing cheesy pop dance routines, because there's a bit at the end of the video where she's just throwing her arms in the air at the end with all the dancers, and it's just like old school Kylie. And I guess there's a lyric in there about, and I wish she changed the lyric to 93 or something, because she says back in 99 or whatever it was.
Ollie wasn't even born then, was he?
No, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to be dancing. He's dressing up as her. He's living his life now through Kylie.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I didn't really get the video because although it's quite funny that they dress up as each other, and they both actually look very good as each other. Although, again, it brings us back to Kylie 98, where she had that ginger crop.
They should have given us warning, because I just was watching, I'm like, who's that? Who's that? Because there was a really quick flash of Kylie in that wig. I'm like, who the hell's that? And then Ollie in the wig as well. I'm like, what? And then it took me a while, a few kind of things. Oh my God, they've changed identities.
I know there's a lyric in there somewhere about being you or whatever, but I'm surprised they didn't actually plug the video by, I mean, this may have happened. I may not have seen it online because I don't always spool through all the news, but I'm surprised they didn't do like a, can you guess who this is type thing? And just kind of like they used to do, because it just seems that the video dropped and there was no hoo-ha about the fact that they've dressed up as each other, which I think is quite funny.
Yeah.
Maybe they have done that, I don't know.
I thought it was a really good video. You know, a step up from the videos that she's done in the past, but I think the videos that she's done for this disco era are great and top notch. Yeah, I really enjoyed the video. I thought it was quite clever with the masks on all the dancers and the way the choreography was. And
I liked it. The only thing I'll say was it's quite dark, and it wasn't poppy and disco-y and bright and colourful. It was all quite black outfits, dark locations. Like that brilliant space, which I don't know where it is, but I've seen it in many TV shows where it's a circular area where people can stand on different levels. Mm. But I would have liked a few more kind of colourful lights where I made it a bit more disco-y or something. But because in comparison to the others are so sparkly that you just kind of think, blimey, you feel like you're in a discotheque. And this one just feels a little bit like we're in a warehouse after dark. But the video is really good. The song is even better when you watch it. So I love that, which makes me kind of wonder what the other two songs are going to be like. So, I mean, the Jessie Ware song, what do you think that's going to be like? Do you think it's going to be upbeat or slinky?
I think it's going to be slinky. I think it's going to be Jessie Ware, please, kind of thing. I think it's going to be kind of that kind of slinky disco, not going to be upbeat. I think the Gloria Gaynor one is going to be balls to the wall disco. God,
It has to be kind of your disco and easy style out there. Otherwise, it's such a missed opportunity. I think you've got
you're doing Gloria Gaynor a disservice if it's not balls to the wall disco. She is the queen of disco.
And I'm glad that this one's coming out. Maybe this one will come out for Christmas. Maybe this is the Christmas disco song that we always wanted the other song to be. And it might come out in time for Christmas for the party season. So maybe it will be a big, massive party song. Because from the sounds of it, it doesn't look like the Jessie Ware song is going to be released if she's done a video with Gloria and years. So, but then she only mentioned those two.
I just, when you said Christmas, I just hope it's not a Christmas-themed disco song. We've already got 100 degrees, Yours Till Christmas to me. I think that's fine, but I think one in Kylie's Christmas career would be great. I wouldn't have another duet.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just have a party song. You don't have to have a song that's got festive bells in it. As long as she hasn't got any boyfriends in the video, then that's all we have to worry about. So, the kiss of death.
Okay, should we look at Step Back in Time?
Oh, if we must. I'm too busy being... one last thing before we go on. She also mentioned in the interview that we need to keep our eyes peeled because she'll announce some dates soon, because she was saying that she's getting sorted to do a tour next year. So I think we're going to be... I'd say next summer is going to be the time we can all get together. All the diminutive Finogues can all come together next summer and we'll have a big, massive Finogue party.
Oh, my God, let's do it. I can't wait. Oh, all right, let's talk about Step Back in Time. So... on the 5th of October, 1998, we had Cowboy Style released. So this was released only in Australia, marking the fourth single from Impossible Princess. The highest chart position in Australia was number 39. Deconstruction didn't want to release another single from the album, but fans really wanted to release Too Far, which would have been a terrible mistake in my opinion. However, Cowboy Style was selected to be released exclusively on Mushroom Records. Most likely after the success of the Intimate Live tour, because that song came over quite well on that tour. I just thought, like, it's probably one of my favourite songs off the Impossible Princess album.
You know what? I forget that song's on the album. When I was listening to the album a few weeks ago, and I don't know if you've heard me say it yet, But I listened to it, the album again, and I didn't mind Impossible Princess, yeah, by one or two dirges. But when it came on, I completely forgot it was on the album. And it is such a good song. And I remember buying the import version of the single, because obviously it wasn't released over here. And I loved the cover image, her in that little bikini bra top and cowboy hat. It was
Do you still have it?
So yeah, I've kept all those singles. So it's somewhere in my collection. But I remember it being such a beautiful image. And compared to, you know, the heroin chic of Some Kind of Bliss.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember what the other one, what did it again look like. It was just a close quarter face. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think I said it in our recording of the Impossible Princess episode. I think, you know, I wish she would have re-recorded this song and maybe had a hidden track on Golden, like a Password, and had this version or a sort of a reimagining of this song on the album.
It's a great song. It's a really good song. I think she should have actually released it here, because I think it would have done all right, because it's a lot better than some of the other songs on Impossible Princess, and it fits in with the Manic Street Preachers songs and so on, because it has that kind of guitar-y real sound.
So yeah, everyone go listen to the anniversary of Cowboy Style this week. So should we go to our Finogue?
Oh yes, who is it this week?
This week's Finogue joins us all the way from Victoria in Australia. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you? Thanks so much for joining. So, first things first, as an Australian, when did La Minogue get into your psyche? When did you first discover the joys?
You know, I would say it'd be Henderson Kids. That's the earliest that I can recall Kylie. But as you know, Kieran, she was sort of a secondary character in that show. So she wasn't really, you know, it was all about Nadine Garner and that prime character. And Kylie was just sort of in the background, looking particularly Bogan, you know.
In that brown curly hair.
totally. So I think I became aware of her then. I mean, you know, back then, obviously, Denny was the star, and I think I was aware that that was Denny's sister. But then obviously, you know, through Neighbours and Charlene.
Talking about that, like, it must be hard for sort of people who didn't grow up with the phenomenon that is Young Talent Time to comprehend that Danny was so famous in Australia. Like, you know, we grew up watching her on a Saturday night Young Talent Time, and then sort of the flip of Kylie now. Like, it must be just so odd for people to think that she was just literally, Danny was one of the most famous kids in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, God, Young Talent Time, it was just part of sort of the Australian psyche. Yeah. You know, in the 80s. My dream was to be honest on Young Talent.
Oh my God, like, everyone's dream was. Everyone's. Even sometimes to this day, I find myself in a YouTube black hole going and watching old episodes on YouTube. It's just incredible.
They actually have tonight on TV the 50th anniversary. And Denny's on it with, I think, Tina Arena and, you know, the whole crew.
Oh my God, I sat down, I had dinner with John Bowles once, and I was just like, oh my God, because he was basically a little bit before, like, he was probably my brother's era of Young Talent Time, who's my brother's about 10, 11 years older. So I had a chat with him and chat to him about the kind of Young Talent Time journey and stuff. Like, it was so amazing. But yeah.
Well, my first crush was Joey Peroni. Absolutely. Yeah. Was besotted with him as a kid.
What about Bevan? Like, Bevan had a very Johnny Farnham vibe to him, didn't he, Bevan?
He did.
Yeah, with the mullet as well. Oh my God, amazing. Okay, back to Kylie.
So I think, I mean, the whole Neighbours thing obviously is just sort of, I think, yeah, anyone who's sort of in that sort of mid, you know, 40s age group rode that wave with Kylie, you know, as Charlene. So that's sort of, I guess, when I became, you know, fully aware and fully appreciative of her. I mean, I have to say that, you know, the initial sort of part of that pop journey, yeah, Locomotion and I Should Be So Lucky, I think I just sort of rode that crazy wave, and it was a bit of a fad, you know, really at the time. But it was really only when, you know, we sort of got into, definitely into sort of, you know, Hand on Your Heart and that second album, that it became somewhat sort of something else. Do you know what I mean? I was sort of hooked from a fan sort of perspective from there.
Can I ask you, do you like the Australian version of The Locomotion or the UK?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask me this. You know, I actually didn't. I wasn't fully aware of the difference until listening to your podcast.
Really?
No, I wasn't. Yeah.
That one's terrible.
The Locomotion and the Locomotion.
Oh, yeah, Locomotion.
Oh, look, I don't know. I'm going to tread this one carefully. I think, the Australian one is really the one that I knew. So, yeah, probably have to.
Would you say Enjoy Yourself would be your favourite Carly album?
No. I think I was listening to them recently and I think it's stark, the maturity, though, from the first to the second album.
Yeah.
And wow, her vocals in that second album are pretty incredible. So I think it's a combination of great songs and her vocals. But Rhythm of Love will always be the album. And I don't think I'm alone there.
Yeah, no. We've got those four Juggernaut singles, right? Those four singles are just, incredible.
I mean, because I remember being blown away by them, because I like you, I loved Enjoy Yourself. That was the album that I thought this is Kylie at her best, and I thought Stock Aitken and Waterman had really risen to the challenge and kind of created songs that they hadn't done before. And then you got to Rhythm of Love and you had these four amazing singles that came out that just sounded so not Stock Aitken and Waterman, so not Cheap. It was just really cool and poppy, and she looked amazing. Did that have a big impact on you? Because it really had an impact on me, I think, when I was younger.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I was 12 when Locomotion came out. I was about 15 when Better the Devil You Know came out. I'll never forget the moment I first saw the film clip. It was jaw-dropping, you know, the transition. And it really was. I mean, she was just so, you know, she'd gone through so much leading up to that, you know, criticism and the whole poppy syndrome, particularly in Australia. And I just loved how she responded to that, you know. And there are a couple of times in that film clip that she gave a glance, you know, and I think she was just giving, you know, giving the bird to those critics, really. And I'll never forget seeing that film clip for the first time. I think that year was such a poignant year when I look back on my love of music as well. And you know, it was just sort of the timing of her sort of, you know, taking off at that point was just sort of, it coincided so perfectly with, I guess, for many of us at that age and our music taste. And as that started to, you know, to develop and mature. But the stylings from Rhythm of Love on really were next level. Yeah. What Do I Have to Do will always. Sorry?
I really like the 60s look she kind of adopted, you know.
Loved it.
Because she had that was the first time she kind of played with the Bardot look, Bridget Bardot look, not the Australian girl band look. I remember when she was promoting the album over here, she used to do a lot of TV shows and she had the kind of beehive. And I just thought this was a perfect look for her. But you compare that now to the, when did she do the second round of Bridget Bardot look? Was that around?
It was Body Language, wasn't it?
Was it Body Language? And you look at the two, and you really do see Kylie in 1990 Bridget Bardot looking very much like a 16-year-old being Bridget Bardot for a fancy dress party. While in Body Language, she looked like it was her. And then she looked stunning, amazing, beautiful. That's my favourite look on Kylie. I love that look.
I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, What Do I Have to Do is my favorite Kylie film clip.
Absolutely beautiful, stunning, sexy.
Were you a fan of Jason Donovan and his musical stylings?
Not really. No, I have to say. Although one of my playlists, I do seem to have Nothing Can Divide Us come up quite a lot, and I don't skip it.
How about All Mixed Up by the Twins?
Oh, my God. It was actually on the back of one of your conversations that I actually looked them up on YouTube and it was like, the Twins.
I haven't even forgotten about you. How sad. Did you like the song?
I did. I mean, I'm up for a bit of, you know, a bit of bop, a bit of bubblegum pop. Yeah, I like I love it.
What do you think of Let's Get To It as the album? After the amazing Rhythm of Love, do you think it was a great follow-up?
Yeah, I don't know if anything would have lived up to, you know, Rhythm of Love. Look, I remember Word Is Out. I remember liking Word Is Out. I remember not necessarily being blown away by it. I remember being a bit like, what the, when I saw the film clip. Yeah. But I mean, my love for Kylie, I will sort of persist, and I'll try and.
You can love Kylie, yeah. the prostitute in Camden Locks. You will love it.
That's it.
Actually, I was going to say, it's interesting that you say that, because when you consider that Rhythm of Love looked, the videos were very beautiful. The styling was amazing. Just everything about it was perfect.
Except the front cover of the album. I don't think the front cover of the album's great.
Yeah.
But it's better than, you know, it was a step forward. But then when you get to Let's Get To It, the videos went a little bit cheaper again, because you had that awful give us just a little more time. Even to some degree, the way Word Is Out was shot didn't have the same style and kind of pizzazz as the previous four videos. Do you think maybe they were trying to, because Kylie's popularity had dipped with the fans a little bit, because she'd lost some of the younger fans and then she was attracting the style fans. Do you think maybe the PWL people or the record people were thinking, we need to go back to being a little bit more kind of mainstream and poppy again, because we lost the kind of sexiness that Kylie had during the Rhythm of Love years?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not entirely sure of their motive. I mean, I think I the Word Is Out film clip, I thought, did look actually quite sort of cheap. I think it did go with the, I think you'd sort of described the sound that they were, you know, that they were sort of promoting Word Is Out of being sort of big band, you know, big band stuff. And I guess I sort of get the rationale for that sort of era and depicting that era. But I just don't think it worked, and particularly on the polish of the Rhythm of Love, you know, videos and singles. Yeah. Yeah. I loved the cover of Let's Get To It. I thought the cover of Let's Get To It
was, stylistically, it was great.
I actually got that shirt. I'm wearing that image. Love that cover. I think it's hot. I think that the other film clips were just gorgeous. I mean, I know that you guys are fans of Finer Feeling.
That was a beautiful video. Yeah.
One of her best. Yeah. I thought that was just gorgeous.
What do you think of Kylie in the deconstruction era? And what are your thoughts on Impossible Princess?
Deconstruction, Confide in Me was extraordinary. That whole, I think Impossible Princess, I remember at the time being like, okay, this is not really what I'd expected. And I remember I loved a number of the singles on there. I remember not being overly overwhelmed by Some Kind of Bliss. Love, Did It Again, Breathe. But yeah, I have to say, of the albums, it's probably the one that I listen to the most. I listen to the least, I mean. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because obviously in Australia it was really heralded as a great album. So
Yeah. And you know, I think I've heard you guys say this as well. I my very first Kylie concert was the Intimate Live concert. And I think I had a different appreciation of it, or a renewed appreciation of it after Intimate Live.
Did you see it in Sydney?
No, I actually saw it in Brisbane. Oh, yeah, cool. I saw it in Brisbane at the time. Yeah. And you know, the whole Dancing Queen thing, and I mean, that was just fantastic. And then that sort of segue into the Olympics, and it was pretty. I went to the Olympics, to the closing ceremony of the Olympics, and I saw, saw that. I paid some absurd amount of money just to see Kylie.
That's the right line. I still cry watching it when I watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Don't start crying.
Oh, it was extraordinary. It was, yeah.
It's when she came out on the thong, didn't she, or the surfboard?
She came out on the thong, and then she straddled away onto a surfboard and then swam to center stage.
That's an Olympic
dancing. It was the campest opening ceremony, closing ceremony ever.
God, I love this. Was when the announcer said her name, that made me, I was filled with pride, because I thought that means the whole world is hearing who Kylie is. Because in some ways, you know, people in America probably didn't know who Kylie was at that point, really. And it was like to hear this name being mentioned that we all loved, being, you know, that the whole world was hearing this name. It just made me feel so proud. I was very excited.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it was absolute pride, yeah. And, you know, sort of seeing her in at that performance, which I would assume is her biggest ever performance, was pretty extraordinary, yeah.
Especially around the
and to hear world. Everyone, just to hear that roar, you know, when they announced Kylie Minogue, it was... It was extraordinary. Yeah.
Okay, I'm jealous that you were there. And when you saw the performance, I mean, I don't know how far back you were, because she must have been a little tiny speck.
Yeah.
But she is anyway. But, you know, even when you watch it on TV, she's just kind of like, she fills as much on stage as she can. And it just seems like, what was it like to see it in real?
Oh, yeah. You're first sort of overwhelmed by the you know, the volume of people there. It's just extraordinary. There were over 100,000 people in the stadium. But she was tiny on the stage. But you know, I remember the whole stadium just sort of being bathed in pink, you know, and
love that.
It was amazing. It was
talking about the Olympics. Whatever happened to Nikki Webster? What's she been doing now? Because never hear from her. Well, never hear. No, I don't hear from her personally, but never hear from her on social or anything like that.
She was on Australian Masked Singer, I think, a couple of years ago.
Oh my God! Because that Strawberry Kisses is a great song. I need to listen to that after this.
Love it.
Back to Kylie now. How many times have you seen her live? Do you know?
Oh, well, I've seen every tour since Impossible Princess, and I've seen a few of them twice. On a Not Like This, I think probably is still my favourite.
I think I've only watched that tour once or maybe twice.
Oh, really?
Songs on it.
See, I like the album. It's not. That's one of them. Probably the albums I listen to least. I suppose. I think.
Which one?
Really? Wow. Years. Okay.
And
shut up. No. Kieran doesn't know what he's talking about. Stevie is listening to dirges or Australian versions of the local. But when you went to see that on a night like this, obviously she debuted can't get you out of my head for the first time.
Yeah.
When you first heard it, because I remember at the time. I mean, as you know, I like the song. I think it's a song that made her and broke her at the same time. That's my own opinion. But when I heard it for the first time, I remember being, it was quite lacklustre. Didn't it follow Your Disco Needs You, actually, on the tour?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
What was
it? I think it followed that, you know, that amazing mashup she did of Step Back in Time, Turn It Into Love, Wouldn't Change a Thing, Celebration. I think it followed that, just the absolute peak of the concert. Yeah, I remember at the time it being a little bit out of context, really, and not appreciating it for what it was, really. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
Memory, it was very acoustic, wasn't it, from memory?
Yeah, exactly.
It was just very low-key, wasn't it? Because it was just, it didn't have the oomph of all the other songs. So it was such an exuberant show, and then you had this song that was a little bit off-kilter. But, I mean, we heard it a year before it actually came out. It was a good while before it came out. And what did you think of Fever? Because, again, Fever's the album that obviously is what she's known for around the world. It really broke her across the world, mainly. But did you think the album was as good as it was? Because as you know, I love Light Years. And for me, Fever was quite patchy. You had amazing singles off it. There's a couple of other songs.
Yeah.
But for me, it was always a little bit on the patchy side. Like, I wish it hadn't been the one that was showcasing Kylie across the world. I wish it had been Light Years with
Kylie. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think there's more of an attachment to Light Years, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Why an attachment for that? Does that have interest?
I guess song wise it resonates more with me, and I think you're right in that it is more consistent beginning to end. I can't get you out of my head, but, you know, it's an extraordinary track, and I mean, I think that it was the track obviously that gave her to the world, but at the same time, I think I've heard you mention this, Christian, we sort of lost
a little bit.
For us fans that have been there from the beginning, Kylie went mainstream on the back of, you know, sort of Can't Get You Out of My Head. And there was a sense of being proud of her and being like, wow, this is extraordinary. You know what I mean? She's truly taking flight with this album. But I have to say, like, in retro, it's not one of those albums that sort of, you know, pulls at my heartstrings as some of the albums do.
I always think this is the album where you kind of lost Kylie's heart a little bit, because even though she's always been surrounded by kind of electronic sounds and all that kind of stuff, the songs have always sounded like they've come from the like an element of Kylie. Well, I think, and it's kind of telling that when the Fever tour, which I haven't seen, but I saw on DVD, it felt like Kylie wasn't part of that show. She was in all the metal stuff. She was doing all the scenes that were quite robotic, and it wasn't like I've said before, William Baker's influence had made her a little bit kind of robotic and not real and a bit more of a puppet. And it's just, I think it's rather telling that album for me doesn't have the Kylie heart in it. It was the first album where it just sounded like people had produced songs for her and they put her vocal in. And then when she did it live, she didn't seem to be all there, a little bit for me anyway.
Well, I saw Fever twice. I saw it once. I actually was at the Manchester one that was recorded, and in Paris. I saw it in Paris as well. And it was a great sort of spectacle. But there was an authenticity in On a Night Like This that was missing in the Fever tour, I thought. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Let's talk about Body Language. What are your thoughts on that album?
I don't really have many thoughts.
So it kind of it kind of exists for me, but I'm like,
it sort of exists. I mean, Slow is my sort of,
I mean, the singles on it were great. Yeah. The singles were on it were really good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a bit of a, I don't mind a bit of R&B. So when she's sort of gone in that direction a number of times, like, I've actually enjoyed the songs. Yeah.
I mean, the shame about that is you said Slow was an amazing song, and when I heard Slow, I mean, that isn't my kind of style of music, but when I heard it, I thought it was the most amazing song I'd ever heard, because it was so different, and it had something that was quite sexy and hypnotic about it that made me think, oh, this is an amazing song. I really loved it. And I hoped that the rest of the album is going to be like that. And that's why I think I was immediately disappointed, because the other songs weren't like that and they weren't as exciting. And I think the album was a little bit on the dull side. And also, you know, I love R&B as much as the next man, but I was hoping that if she was going to go down that route, we'd have more of that kind of Destiny's Child, kind of real pop R&B, as opposed to, it was a bit sludgy what we were given in the end, aside from Red Blooded Woman, which is basically Survivor. No one's ever done a mashup of that, have they? Well, have they? I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But they should put them together.
They should put them together if they haven't done already, right? Well, but you were Kylie collector.
I wouldn't really describe myself as one. No, I mean, I've got a lot of Kylie shirts. I've got a, and I guess I've sort of. Where my money's gone with Kylie over the years has been to go to the Olympics, sort of pay to go to the first homecoming concert, you know. I wouldn't. And it's so funny though. Like, I consider myself to be a pretty hardcore Kylie fan, and then I see some fans and I'm like, I've got nothing on them.
Meet Kieran.
I've got nothing on them.
I really need to stop, like, buying multiple copies of the same album. It's just a little bit ridiculous now. I kind of need therapy. Like, I always joke that I basically paid for a kitchen in one of the houses, like, literally the amount of money I spent on stuff.
Hey, whatever makes you happy.
Exactly. Life's short, right? Just buy Kylie. That should be a slogan. Oh, God. So if Kylie, like, joined us now, what would you say to her?
I would say I've met her a couple of times. I met, I have a great story of when I first met her. I was living on the Gold Coast in 94, so the Gold Coast in Queensland, and she was there filming Street Fighter, of course. And I had heard through the grapevine, I'm not sure how it was, it wasn't the internet back then, but that she would be attending and walking the red carpet at the Brisbane International Film Festival for the premiere of Muriel's Wedding. So we ventured up there from the Gold Coast and we, you know, sat outside with, I guess, 50 other people and watched her tuddle down the, you know, the red carpet and screamed and went silly as you do. So, yeah, we saw her go in and then we went and seen a movie or something. And then about 2 hours later, I said to my mates, why don't we go past the, you know, the Regent Cinema and see what's happening. So we walked past and literally as we're getting there, Kylie, an assistant, and I would assume someone like a security guard walked out and it was literally us in the Queen Street Mall.
Wow.
So had a, I can't remember what I said. I think I said something ridiculously lame, like I love your album or something like that. Ridiculous. And I got her to sign a couple of albums. Yeah. So I met her there and then I met her 20 years later, 2014, when she was in Australia for, she was doing The Voice. And I went to a friend sort of connect me into this radio event. Yeah, yeah. Wow. And I actually said to her when I met her there, I said, I met you at the premiere of Muriel's Wedding. And the first thing she said to me was, I was wearing a red dress that night. And I'm like, well, yeah, you were, yeah. She looked incredible. It was, I mean, I'm sure anyone who's seen her, she's just so stunningly beautiful.
Mm.
And she had this sort of 40s, 50s hairdo with this sort of Marilyn Monroe-esque red dress. She was just stunning, yeah.
Amazing.
But to your question, if I actually calmed myself, and I would just say to her that being her fan has been just an absolute joy. Like being a Kylie fan, I think is magical, that only Kylie fans sort of truly get.
And it's there, we're part of a community, aren't we? It's like we're part of a community.
Yeah, totally. And that's been the joy of listening to this podcast, actually, because I don't really have many Kylie friends. So, you know what I mean? So it's been lovely to have that connection and actually to hear the parallels in people's sort of stories from the beginning. Yeah. And I think the other thing is just pride. I'd say I'm so proud of you and that you should be so proud of yourself. Yeah. It's incredible.
It is interesting, isn't it, that we're all different walks of life and different areas in the world. And there's just something that just, and you can't put a finger on it. I can't explain why Kylie, of all the people, became such an important figure in my life, because, you know, we're surrounded by different kinds of people, the Madonnas and all this kind of, but we're lucky that we had this one person who just did something for us and maybe helped us through a certain period of our lives or made us feel good about a period of our lives. And it's just lovely, isn't it? And you're right, this particular run of episodes we've done where we're talking to the fans, I found this way more entertaining because I love to hear about other people's stories. And you're right, there are parallels, but then everyone's got their own stories. We've spoken to people who are 20 who have come into Kylie's life or Kylie's come into their life at a certain point. And, you know, we've gone back to we started at the beginning. It's so fascinating to hear people's stories. I love, this is my favourite part.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been incredible.
We'll end now with some quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, favourite Kylie song?
Better the Jeff, you know.
Favorite Kylie album?
Rhythm of Love.
Ooh. Favorite Kylie movie?
San Andreas.
Favorite Kylie album cover?
Ooh, let's get to it.
And probably this one might be a little bit more challenging, but which is the favorite Kylie look that you love that she's done over the years?
Yeah, I love the 60s look. Yeah. 60s.
And being the loser I am, can I do some quick fire questions? What's your least favorite Kylie song?
Give me just one more time.
Yeah. What's your least favorite album cover?
Probably Kiss Me Once.
Oh, really? Shocking. I'm just a Look, it's me once was quite good. I quite like it against that shower curtain or whatever it is. What's your least favorite Kylie look?
Probably around the Impossible Princess.
Heroin chic.
Yeah.
That just reminded me of, what's your least favorite single cover? And if you don't say Some Kind of Bliss, I'll be very disappointed because that's a terrible cover. I think the premise must have been just try and make Kylie look as bad as you can, because
that was the green. That was the green.
Horrible.
Yeah.
That was a bad time. And what is your least favorite Kylie album?
Least favorite Kylie album? I'm probably going to say Body Language. Yeah.
Rob, thank you so much for joining us. You've just been amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
No, guys, that was fantastic. Thank you.
Wasn't Rob amazing? I think Rob and I spoke a little bit too much about Young Talent Time. No, I do apologise, but we got a little bit carried away.
Well, to us Brits, it's a whole new story. So it was lovely listening to it. And lovely Daniel, who's turned 50, by the way.
She looks amazing.
But if I look like that when I'm 50, I'll be very, very happy. She looks amazing, actually. She looks better than she's ever looked.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, back in when she was on Home and Away and stuff like that, you know, she has had some great work done and she looks amazing.
I'm sure it's all natural. And except the boobs, maybe some of the face. But she looks stunning. She's got lovely hair.
Yeah.
They're very attractive. They're a very attractive pair of sisters. And can I just go back to the video for A Second to Midnight?
Yes, Seconds to Midnight.
Yeah, not A Second to Midnight.
Seconds to Midnight? A Second to Midnight, shit.
It's just A Second to Midnight. Kylie looks amazing. There's a couple of close-ups in that video. And she looks like 1991 again.
It looked like What Do I Have to Do? The video, that look with her in that cheetah outfit, the leopard print thing. I think it was the actual coat.
I wonder. All she was missing was Zane O'Donnell.
I wonder if she broke into the Melbourne Arts Museum and stole it back to actually film this.
You know what? I would have loved her to have actually done. I mean, maybe this is something she can do for an anniversary. But she should do a video where she's doing all that kind of stuff, wearing stuff she's worn before, and then flashback to previous videos. And it would be just absolutely, or just an homage to some of her videos where she wears similar things, but in different situations. It'd be absolutely amazing. She looks so, I honestly can't get over the video because she's done everything we've been saying we want her to do for ages. That 90s look is back. Which makes me think that maybe her next album could be more 90s because this single actually sounds quite 90s, I think. 90s pop.
Well, if she does, I wonder if she's going to get this, that Mike stopped to produce a few songs. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, maybe not. As much as I love Mike Stock, I'm not sure if he... I mean, I don't know. I think always with the good news, you write a great song, but I don't want any Fast Food Rockers cast-offs or Scooch B-sides.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. A big mega episode, loads going on. So thanks for sticking with us. And if you want to get in touch, please do at thekyliesmileypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook. No, why do I keep saying that? We don't have a Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram at The Diminutive Collection.
Yeah, on Instagram, and maybe sit on our face instead. But be careful with me because I've got glasses.
You'd just remove them for the passion, wouldn't you?
You know, some people might be spontaneous and just sit my face without me even being warned. And then all you hear is that nasty crack, and then I'll smell the crack. But that's by the by. Time to go?
Yeah, time to go. Thanks so much.
Right. Bye.
Bye.